Hi, I'm the cutest cryptolithrites, Maya.
And I'm the siren pirate that reminds you that explaining explore quickly is quite impossible, Jennifer Rose.
Hi folks, this is Editor Maya here. This is the second episode in the Jennifer Rose special guest slot series, and we're just going to head straight in from where we left off last episode. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1.
Round 5, I got paired with my second cutter. Against, I believe it was Justin, who also top eighted, who I later learned, I'm very new to Melbourne, I've lived here for a while, very new to Australian magic scene, well, competitive magic scene is a better way to say it. Apparently Justin is like a huge, like been around for years. I remember looking up the MTG Elo project on him, and he's been like playing since like 2004 GPs.
Justin Chung is very... he's very well regarded part of the competitive magic scene in Melbourne.
Very, very lovely guy too.
Divine. Very, very good at magic.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he crushed me 2-0. I barely had a chance. Game one, I made a small mistake. He capitalized on it and just punished me super hard. And then game two, I demeted it, drew 2 mana lands, and died super quick. I think he had 2 cutters as well. And it's like, 2 cutters is unbeatable. And demeter, you cannot deal with that. And he was lovely the whole time. And I remember like getting up of that, and I was like, oh God, maybe he comes to 4-5. I'm like ready to go home and be like, well, I was on top at round 3, honey. You'll be proud of me. And she just kept texting like, oh, now that you're 4-1, you won't be on like feature because I want to watch you, which was very lovely and also foreshadowing. probably shouldn't call it out. Round 6, I was against a Demons player whose name I forgot, surprisingly, also lovely. I don't remember much about those matches, so we can mostly just skip over those. I believe I 2-0'd. I believe they were super close. So then I needed to go to the bathroom so bad between the rounds. So I remember telling a judge, always tell a judge if you think you're going to run into the start of a new round, if you're going to go to the toilet, they will give you extra time. Judges are amazing. So I told a judge I need to go to the bathroom in case I'm late to the table. I ran to the bathroom. I came back to an empty table, confused. And Kara. Someone else grabbed me and went, oh, are you okay playing on feature? And I went, okay, yeah, whatever. Sick. Low-key hoping for it for my partner reasons. And also, I wanted to see what it was like. So I got sent up. My opponent was already there. And those lights are so hot. Oh, my God. So if you've seen that game, I believe Kira called it quite remarkable. But it was against Omniscience combo, or Omni, as I generally call it. That matchup... for us, at least, is quite interesting because it's meant to be quite easy, but it's quite hard to play. As in, if you play it well, it's very easy. But you have to kind of know when to push, when to hold. You need to put enough pressure on them. I remember, because I watched back the coverage, there was one point when I believe it was a Duress, and my opponent's hand was like interaction spell, like 2 stock ups and a spell pierce. And I took the spell pierce, which they were quite confused about. And I just knew that I had a counter spell in hand. So it doesn't matter if they try and, it was a temporary lockdown, I believe. If they try and lock down my board, I counter that. If they try and stock up, I wait. Because you just have to kill them. You can't, if they're spinning their wheels drawing cards, it doesn't matter. You need to make them have it. There's no omniscience in the bin. They can't combo off. I don't care. Kill them. I had those 2 games. It's a bit different, game 2 and 3, because they can... often have a transformational sideboard. So they sideboard in a lot of especially bigger creatures, or like White Overlord, who makes the insects. And they can kind of become what I like to call a bad control deck, which if you've sideboarded in for combo, a bad control deck can easily beat you, especially if you've taken out all your removal. I tried to do this all weekend when I was on coverage, but it only got shredded this one. I sideboarded making sure the camera could see it so I could think about it later, which was helpful. And what I realized I did, I didn't actually sideboard in my ghost vacuums, which I don't know if I did that intentionally or not, but that's also a thing you can do, especially post-board, because they generally cut down on combo. So there's a kind of interesting like dance about whether or not you bring in as many counter spells. I usually leave Go for the Throats in, for example, because I know Vicky, Voice of Victory, that is the 2-mana 1/3 where you can't cast spells during their turn. That creature can kind of, well, it's a 1/3, so it blocks your Drowner, blocks a lot of your ground creatures pretty well. It does fall down a 3 damage a turn if it's attacking, if you've got nothing pressure, and half your spells no longer work.
It has mobilized two, which makes it essentially three powered attacker.
Yes, thank you. I got lucky actually because they played a Vicky. I believe I killed the first one and they played the second one and they attacked in a way that I could double block and kill it, which I don't think my opponent was expecting. But playing with that card on the board is really difficult for Dimir because a lot of times we want to play on people's end steps. Because it's funny. No. So I won those two games, and that is when I met the lovely Kira, who came up to me afterwards and complimented me, which I was feeling quite flat by that point. I'd played six rounds of Magic. It's a lot of Magic. And I was feeling quite tired. I somehow had not eaten enough, even though it was my goal, and I ate a bit more food. I had a good, I've nicknamed them now the Pit Crew, and it feels a little diminutive. Kira gave me that little, what felt like a prep talk from my end, which I don't think it felt like that from her end, when she just gave me a light compliment and then went about her day. I got ready for round seven. It was seven rounds of Magic, not six. So seven rounds of Magic, and I was feeling exhausted. And that's when I realized that, because I was 6-1 at that point, there might be a chance I finish top 10 and qualify for a Pro Tour, which is an insane statement, even now when I've since qualified for more. But it was a really weird feeling. I was exhausted. I remember looking at my phone and going to the Sanctum chat, because I was going to ask someone, what is the mass? So as you're getting further and further along a day of Swiss, especially if you're undefeated, it's very common in the last round or last two rounds to ID, because even if you get a less high position, ID is intentional draw. You get you might finish a less high position, you might finish sixth instead of second in the top eight, but you are guaranteed to make it based on the way points work. No one else can get more wins than you. And so you're more likely to finish, you're still going to finish in the top eight and still be able to play the next day. And that way you don't have to play more games of Magic, which can be helpful if, one, if you lose the two games, you might not make it. And also if you get quite exhausted easily, some of us at this table, it's me. So I went in there and I was going to be hey, can I ID here? Also, can you do this in 2 minutes? To which I found the entire team chat had been watching all day, which was very surprising and very wholesome, and helping everyone. And they're all already calculating it for me, which was kind of surreal, honestly. So I was, checking that. They were doing the math for me. And apparently if I ID'd from 6-1, I was guaranteed at least top 10. I wasn't guaranteed top 8. They were thinking I was most likely going to end up 9th, but they weren't sure. And the judges normally, because judges are amazing, and I will never not stop talking about how amazing they all are, endless and always. You can also appreciate this. Give you an extra 5 minutes once standings and pairings are up, so you can talk it through with your opponent to see if you could both ID and such. My opponent for that match wasn't sure if they could finish top 10 if they ID'd. I remember asking the chat if they could, and they went, oh, this is going to take us more than the 2 minutes you have, so don't worry. And I remember them, my opponent, he said something along the lines of I can't imagine something worse than IDing and not making top 10. So we should play. And I'm like, okay, yeah, no, I don't even care anymore. And I put down my phone. I'm like, let's play then. I'm here to play. I'm here to play Magic. I didn't expect to even top 8 or not. I just want to play. Pro tip, if you're not sure, just play. You're there to play Magic. It's fun. And you'll improve. And one tournament success is not more important than your Magic career. You probably won't die in between. So we played our match. And I was going to say he wasn't the nicest in terms of because I played some very, very nice people, but he was an incredibly nice opponent. But he was probably my favorite opponent just for, even just a comment, his comment about wanting to play and the way he said and stuff. I'm like, I'm locked in. Let's go. There's something about certain competitors, especially people who do really well a lot, where there's a kind of vibe or atmosphere, or je ne sais quoi, the steel line you used earlier. Yeah, I'm going to call you out for that because I don't use that term, honestly. That kind of pulls you, you just want to play Magic against these people. Maybe I just do, and maybe that's why I play too much against people better than me, and that's maybe why I'm here. But yeah, so he unfortunately was on, well, not unfortunately was on, he was on Oculus, which is a deck that is generally called Jeskai Oculus because it runs three colors. Being a three color deck in our current standard is very difficult and leads to a lot of mulligans and kind of bad draws at times. It gives you, allows you to be more powerful, similar to Esper Pixie, where you can have some very, very powerful draws, but it is quite dangerous. And unfortunately for him, he had to mulligan to five both games and kind of didn't really show up. Not much he could do. I think I kept seven both games. I might have mulled to six both games, but I had very strong hands and both games didn't feel particularly close. But yeah, so afterwards, I remember he congratulated me. He shook my hand in a way that felt like a very, like, kind of like a very, like, respectful, like, the way that after a long fought, like, really good, I'm going to reveal myself to be into sports ball. I'm the sports queer. There are dozens of us opponent after, like, a game of Australian rules football or something where you've had a hard-fought game and you're just like, you know what, I really enjoyed that. And that was a really good feeling, especially because he did in no ways enjoyed that match. And he packed up his stuff and let me just, like, kind of simmer in the feeling, especially because I'd finished so early. All my other teammates were still playing. I remember just like sitting there and just being like, oh, I guess I'm going to a pro tour and I guess I'm in the top eight. This is really weird. And I eventually looked at my phone and saw a friend request from Jason saying, hey, would you like to test with Sanctum for PT3? Which was the most like, especially a day one when I said this, like to my friend, it felt like in one of those sports films where the kid like sinks the final hoop or whatever. And before the credits roll, like the national coach just like walks up and is like, hey kids, see you at nationals. And I'm like, what is happening? and I was just like sitting in it and like some person walked past and like accidentally bumped into me as I was sitting there. And like, I think they knocked over some of my cards, cause my cards are still on the table. I hadn't picked any of them up, like knocked over my deck or something, like deeply apologized. And I'm like, no, don't worry. And they're like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to the PT. And they're like, oh yeah. And I'm like, I don't know what's happening right now. And I eventually texted India, who was sitting outside, because apparently magic halls have a funky spell. So she came in, celebrated with me. And then as more people found out, they all came in, like, celebrated, which was really, really nice. And I went home and attempted to sleep after eating way too much pizza.
Day two.
So they had to be there earlier than me. I had come up with what I still think is a really cute idea. So my deck list runs three Fairy Mastermind. It used to be four of them in the main board. Fortunately, it is a 2-1 flash with honestly a ton of other texts that's not really worth recounting right now because it's not important to the rest of anything. But being a 2-1 flash is really bad against aggro. You can sometimes, like, I was going to say Ambush Viper. Ambush Viper is a really old card. I believe it's one green that has flash and it's a 2-1. You can Ambush Viper some, like, 2-2 mice sometimes, but generally you block and it dies and their creature lives because they will have prowess because they're card tokens, and you're like, oh, okay. But it's very good against control decks and other decks that are slower. So I had three in my sideboard and I had three of my close teammates. So easy math. I got them to sign the three. Unfortunately, they signed them between my quarterfinal and my semifinal, not before my first game because I arrived later than I was planning, still before my match. So I didn't actually get to bring them in at all in the semifinal or the final, and the quarterfinal, which I did bring them in against, they weren't signed. But hey, it was cute. But my quarterfinal was against Ben... I'm pointing at you because I forget names.
Ben Tudman?
Yeah.
The Jeskai Oculus player?
Yes. Who has been on your show before.
The wonderful Ben Tudman. Yeah. Hi, Ben.
Quite lovely. Oh, God, does he listen to this? Yes, I feel embarrassed now. Oh, God.
I hope so.
Well, I don't hope so right now. I hope so because this podcast is great, but I don't hope so because, like, oh, God. I get embarrassed easily. He's very lovely. I think to my partner that he was just the pure, like, on pure niceness, he was like the nicest opponent I had all weekend. We had first game, unfortunately, in Jeskai Oculus fashion, he mulliganed to five, though he did have a very good five. I think he had like a Oculus reanimated on two anyway, or turn three. But he had a lot of pain lands, and as Demir, you're not that afraid of an Oculus because you have the card called Go for the Throat or Anoint, which is even better, but probably not generally game one. But yeah, so Jeskai Oculus is... it's a matchup that feels both favored and not, depending on how they draw. Luckily for me, they draw a lot of pain lands and I can kind of chip away. I remember I watched a podcast, technically a podcast, I don't know what you call it, an episode on the YouTube channel Team Bus Stop talking about his tournament, and he was talking about the final, and from his side he was saying how he drew too many pain lands and took too much damage from it. And I remember because I had the life draws in front of me, I remember looking it up and being like, oh yeah, you took like seven this game from pain lands. Which is a lot of damage, especially when I'm chipping away with bats. It kind of doubles my speed, and I kind of, believe I played well this match. Ben also played really well. Like, it was a very tight match, but my cards lined up slightly better into his. And Tishana's is my favorite card. And if you don't get me started, if you don't stop me before I start, I will talk about all the ways you can stone rain people with that card. So those quarters were really close. I had won. Luckily, the way that lined up, my teammates were watching when that finished because I was in between rounds. So I got to do the, like, everyone, like, hug and celebrate. It was, like, the one time I got to do all weekend, which was super sweet. And then onto my semis. So the way they did the semis for this, because it was on coverage, they wanted to film one and the other. So the first one was my one, which felt unlucky at the time, but I'm very glad for it afterwards. So I sat down for my semifinal, and that one was on coverage. That game's a lot. I highly recommend watching it, by the way. It's really interesting, especially going back, because there's a ton of small mistakes I make, which I think are really interesting. I'm probably going to do a VOD review with some of the other Dimir players from Sanctum, because we all talked about it a whole bunch. It's a really interesting game. Against Sam. Sam was on Gruul Delirium, which not a lot of people before that event knew a ton about. It had done well at the Japanese RC the week before ours. I think it finished in the top eight, I want to say. I've been aware of it mostly because I played too much Arena. But yeah, so Gruul Delirium is honestly a kind of strange deck, and I'm surprised it's like picking up more steam. Well, I'm not surprised, but it's interesting that it's become more steam. I believe because I don't think there's like a creature with less than three toughness in the entire board. It's probably quite good into other red decks. I haven't played enough for that reason. I've played it a few times. It's a deck that I wish was like better because it looks really fun, but also it's really hard for me to think about cards that don't have swamps and islands in them. So I remember a bunch of my Sanctum teammates who had been like sending me like matchup notes during the whole weekend between day one and day two. To one of them, technically, it wasn't isn't a Sanctum member, but two Sanctum members from Sanctum member and non-Sanctum member from Ryan's Discord, Ryan and a friend, were testing my list against the Oculus list because it was a strange Oculus list, but Ben's list, to like give me notes between, which was a really weird and super nice feeling. And feel like a strong desire to try and be a good teammate for the rest of like Sanctum now that I got like the opportunity, which is really weird. And teams are great. Join them. Be cool to your friends. Friends are so good.
Friends are great. 10 out of 10. Would recommend.
Anyway, back to the match. A lot of people were just like, I don't know what you're meant to do about them, those decks. And I remember like listening to coverage afterwards and like talking to some people about it and stuff, about like certain cards like Cut Down and Go for the Throat line up quite poorly into Gruul because a lot of the creatures are artifacts. So I guess that's the artifact deck I was mentioning earlier that you kind of struggle into. I believe I actually kept most of my Cut Downs in. And most of my go-through throats in because maybe I cut one or two. Because interestingly enough, Sam's list was interesting in the way that they had four of the raccoon. But yeah, so I kept in a few go-through throats and cut down stay in because you can occasionally snag a the 3-2, the Wicker Folk, Wild Wicker Folk. Wildfire Wicker Folk, yes. The 3-2 that becomes a 4-3 if they have Delirium. You can occasionally snag that, especially if you can turn off Delirium and snag with a cut down. It feels really good. And also FOMO, Fear of Missing Out, which is probably the best card in the deck, probably the best card also in the Oculus deck. It's a very, very good card. Bad moment when they were empty-handed, drew FOMO and played two creatures in that one turn, and I was super dead after that. Oh no, I believe their top deck, they're like, look at the top six, and then played a FOMO off it, and either like drew a card that was another creature or a haste creature or something, and I'm like, oh god, I just got rolled. Yeah, so FOMO is a card that has to die, mostly not because of that first trigger, but the second one. The second one is, if you have Delirium, when you attack, you may untap target creature. And if you do, I believe there's an if you do in there, you get another combat step. So that can make certain mass really hard, and they, Sam and Gruul in general usually runs multiple copies of Overprotect. Yeah, because it's funny. It's a cute card. And like the flavor text is really funny. It like references some character we've never seen before. And it's like, oh, you really, really protected him. I'm like, yep, probably you did.
Yeah, amazing.
But yes, so you generally want to keep some amount of cut downs and some amount of removal in for that. Game one, I remember being really tight. I kept two lands on the draw. I hate Dimir. I think I drew my third land on like turn five, I want to say, maybe turn six. I think I played two and cracked two maps between those points. I had two sirens for a while. You have a very strong look of Vanquish there.
It's magic.
It's not bad. It's Dimir. I wish we had any good filtering. Like, we used to run the one mana 1/1 fairy that surveils one when it enters, just because it's like, God, I wish I could like filter my deck, please, a little bit. Let me have some control of what I draw, please. you can't.
Not allowed nice things.
No, that's only for decks with cantrips. I hate color. Should stop saying I hate things. I like Magic a lot, actually. And Friends.
Woo! Woo! 10 out of 10. Would recommend.
But yeah, so game one, I very much struggled through it. I feel like that game one is a very good display of like what a lot of people get wrong in Demir, as I was mentioning earlier, and again, don't know if it'll be on the final audio track because I've talked a lot, is that Demir, you need to be attacking. You need to be chipping away life total. Demir struggles against a lot of decks to win late games. I don't think Demir is a late game deck. Again, my hot take is Demir is an aggro deck. Demir needs to kind of chip away, especially against aggro decks. There's this common kind of pattern or arc throughout a lot of games where you play a Siren or you play a Drowner early, you chip away like eight points of damage, you get into like 12, then you stabilize with a Preacher. Most of the time when your Preacher's attacking, that's kind of some of the chip damage. Once you get to like 12, 10, draw like a Shieldred or you'll draw a Gix Command, and you can kind of have a turn, or if you have a Kaido, where you can like animate Reef, tap something down with Kaido and attack for like 12. And you just kind of blow someone up out of nowhere. It's a very, very common thing, especially if you can like use your removal well to slow them down so you're like dying a lot. Like if I went through these life totals here, a lot of times it's like I went down to 5 before killing them. I went down to 4 before dying in this case. I went down to 3 before having a turn where I killed them from 8. You kind of have a lot of sense where it's just about not dying long enough that you can blow them up at once, which is an interesting thing, and you need to be attacking in that way. Also, Spyglass Sirens, it's a terrible blocker. Don't block, but just poke them. Just poke them for one. And turning it sideways is funny. So game two, and finished game one of the semifinals. Oh, it only took an hour. Game two actually made a pretty bad mistake. Game two was super close. Sam is a very good player, and they were, again, you make a lot of small mistakes during your tournament. The best players are the ones that make you feel those small mistakes. And a lot of times that's how I find you kind of really know, apart from the vibes I mentioned earlier. Like you notice when you make a tiny mistake and you're like, oh, that feels bad. And there was one particular attack where I attacked with both my Sirens because I am a Siren freak. And in my mind, I had a choice that turn between playing, I had 4 mana. I could play Enduring Curiosity or I can play 2 Deep Cavern Bats. And I had 2 cards in hand. And I decided to play both the bats, but I knew I was going to attack with both birds if I was going to play my cat. I call Spyglass Siren birds. They are Siren Pirates. They are not birds, but I will not stop.
Birds in spirit.
They have wings. That's close enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. All dinosaurs are birds. So I attacked with both of them after playing both my bats and then went, oh, I probably should have left one back so I would die on the backswing, especially if they play a haste creature. Anyway, they played a haste creature, so I had to double block with my bats. They drew a bunch of cards, obviously, from my bats, and I died not long after. Don't decide a plan and then do the other plan and then forget that you did the other plan and did the first plan.
Consistency in plan execution is important.
Yeah, but that was also a quite interesting match. I believe everything else went kind of to plan for me, so I was feeling a little bummed after that game. Game three, I believe, or game two, I think we both mulled to 6. I was on the play, feeling pretty confident, hopefully. I draw my 7. No land. That's fine. We'll go to 6. I draw my 6. Yeah. I believe it was like 2 colorless lands and a blue land and a bunch of black removal. And I'm like, oh, okay. I don't really want to go to 5. But so I go to 5. My opponent kept 7. And I feel very tilted in this moment. This is one of the moments where trying not to tilt is really important. And I remember like thinking, like my partner was at home watching and she knows what's going on. And I remember grabbing my life battery, you're just seeing it. I just wrote Gur above like the life total. Cause I had to get a little bit of grumpiness out. It doesn't feel great to mold a 5. And I got my 5 and oh my God, it's not like the best 7 I've ever seen, which is a kind of tilt in itself, but here we are. I believe it was like 3 lands, cat, preacher, drowner, and like 2 removal spells or something very good like that. And then I kept 2 lands, a preacher, and a bunch of really good 1 or 2 mana spells. Game 3 was still very close, but I drew very well that game. I think I drew like all 3 of my anoints in the top like 10, 15 cards. Even though I was on a mild of 5, I started feeling very ahead very quickly. I remember at one point, I was sitting there with my 2 cards in hand and I'm flicking back and forth, and it's a foil anoint with affliction and a non-foil anoint with affliction, which means it's from the sideboard. I don't have a consistent collection that requires buying cards instead of being a pack addict. Or actually without anoint, I found it in a 20-cent bin at a store. That card was like $8 at the time. Oh, best 20 cents I've ever spent.
Value.
But yeah, so I'm like flicking these two anoints in hand, seeing they're like one creature. I'm like, I feel like there's like no way I can die. I nearly died that game anyway, because Sam played really well and drew really well as well. But yeah, so very close, very good game. And I was like sat on the chair, I'm like, I don't know what this Rakdos midrange deck is, because my opponent, Benjamin something. Ben had brought a very interesting brew that was very good at versing color, and I believe they versed color like six times. And so I was feeling horrible and I was doing that. And I remember one of my friends, I remember saying to my friend just how horrible I felt. And they're like, you should just like get off your phone. And I was like, yeah, that's probably true. So I didn't worry about looking at that deck that much. I just put my bag underneath my head. I laid on the floor and I listened to a really good Black Gaze album. Alcest is a very good band. If you know who they are, you're the best kind of person. I know you don't know who they are because you're giving me the look. But I laid there. I don't think I fell asleep, but I don't exactly remember everything that happened. I remember the coming back to a little bit, because I heard the commentator say something like, oh, we have our other finalists confirmed, and going, oh no, I need to go to the bathroom so bad. So I ran off to the bathroom, came back to the match, sculled a bottle of water in between, which was really bad, because after game one and between game one and two, I had to go to the bathroom again, which made me look really sus in my opinion. Like the judge was like, hey, can I go to the bathroom again? But yeah, so I sat back under the lights. I was feeling a lot better. Naps are good, and not being under really hot lights when you have drunk water is good. Unfortunately for my opponent, I remember looking at their 75 and being like, oh, you have one way to kill Kaido across 75 cards and is two copies of Torch the Tower, cast one after the other. I think also they had like the dinosaur that you can discard for 3 damage. They couldn't kill Kaido is what I decided on that. Game one, I believe I Kaido'd on turn 3 and very quickly killed them. I remember, I might not have Kaido'd game one, but I do remember either Kaidoing and then... believe I thought Duress them. I was going to say Thought Seize. I Duress them at one point, and I had one removal spell, and I played Shielded. So game one was, I don't want to call it a rout, but especially because my opponent was quite nice. Repeat the line.
It was quite one-sided.
Yeah, it was quite one-sided, which didn't feel exactly like my opponent's fault. The deck was not built to verse a deck like mine across the 75 either. And I remember game two, I think it was like turn 4. I had a bunch of like derpy little flyers on the board, and I drew Kaido for turn, and I kind of knew I'd won then, and it felt really weird. And then I remember the thought of going, if you lose from this moment, you're going to feel really bad about this tomorrow. So I ninjutsu'd my little siren. I love siren so much. My little bird, she can. I ninjutsu'd my little siren, and then I got a map back because you reset it. Also, Flood Pit Strana is so good to pick up with them, but that's not siren, so we're not talking about Flood Pit Strana. We don't care. Necessary evil. I actually love Drana. I don't know why I'm pretending not to. It has the word flash on it. Come on.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. So I ninjutsu, and then I think I played a few more cards. They didn't really matter. Again, they couldn't kill any of my big creatures, and I believe they were only on one black mana because I didn't draw a second black land for ages, so they can only do like one thing a turn, and so they kind of got a little crushed. And yeah, so I guess I win. Really, really weird at that moment. My opponent got up and left, and yeah, that was a very weird feeling. My phone was exploding in my handbag, I believe, but I didn't look at it because I was mostly dying, and then I had to go do media, which is weird to do, but honestly good because it gives you time to like debrief, which is weirdly good. They announced I won in front of everyone, which was a lot. Thankfully, Riley, who also is really nice, Riley Knight, I guess I'll be seeing them later. Announced it all and said, you don't have to talk on the mic, handed me the trophy, which I said, I'm so glad that the mic was not close enough to my mouth. I went, fuck, that's heavy. In a kind of loud voice, because that trophy is so heavy. I don't understand how you meant to lift it. I'm weak. I got little baby arms. Estrogen makes your muscles shrink when you're like, go from a cis man to a non-cis man. Oh my God, I can't lift things. That thing hurt. Very, very niche problems to complain about. But yeah, so I did all that, and then with standing backstage crying a little too much. I cried a lot that weekend, actually. Pretty much cried every time my friends hugged me and said, here, have a muesli bar. Yeah, and yeah, I guess that's the RC. I went home and ate too much KFC, again, Greece. Cried some more, had a call with my girlfriend who I couldn't function during. I think she'd mostly just talked to my friend, and I nodded every now and then. And then I passed out for approximately 12 hours.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, congratulations on winning the event.
Yeah.
It has been so lovely to talk to you. You have had such an incredible amount of valuable things to say. And I have learned so much in the last 2 hours. It's been absolutely phenomenal. So if our listeners wanted to find you somewhere, where should they be looking?
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I'm still on the health site known as Twitter because occasionally makes me money. So on Twitter, I am at Jagspiserenevis, which when I was 14 and learning Danish, I have a weird past, means on Duolingo, it means I am eating a newspaper. And I thought that was cute.
Amazing. We're going to put the spelling of that in the show notes.
Yeah, so yeah. And I also definitely pronounced it wrong. I am no longer 14. On Blue Sky, I'm at Jennifer Rose, at bluesky.social.something. However that works. Also in the doobly-doo, right? That's what we call it. We're from 2011 YouTube. I'm old. I keep saying that, but everyone around me is like older than me recently, so I feel kind of rude doing it.
It's okay. I'm younger than you.
Yeah, I know. I worked that out earlier. I'm like, yes, I get to say it again. Yeah. And then I am on, I have a Metafy, which I have, I hate using the word guide because it makes it feel like I know too much about a deck. And unfortunately, I'm a little too literature brained. And I'll say, this is how I think about it. Okay, this is my experience with it, with Demir and some other various thoughts. I'm trying to get myself to upload like what I'm charitably calling an essay every 2 weeks or so, because I think in my experience, a lot of people speak about magic in a very STEM way, for lack of a better way of talking about it in magic. Like, we've got a lot of scientists and a lot of smart people, but I want to kind of talk about things through the kind of lens I study and think about things. I don't want to say it's valuable, but I hope it is. And then I think that's all. I guess I got a Discord, but it's on my Metafy, so just go look there.
Amazing. With all that said, that's all we have time for today. We look forward to seeing you again next week. New episodes release on Mondays at 11 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. Until then, you can keep track of all our releases at RaiseMTG on both Instagram and Blue Sky. You can find Kira on the same platforms at kirabovira.jpg on Instagram and kirabovira on Blue Sky, and myself at MayaMTG on both platforms. A big thank you to the State Library of Victoria for the ongoing use of their space. Until next week.
And the task spilled over into undeath. Stopped calling it his life's.